Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
And welcome, listeners, to episode seven episodes.
I know.
Can you believe it?
And we've had so much lovely feedback from listeners.
Such great feedback. We've got Liz Grover, who listens to us on her run.
Have to get a mention. Yeah.
Yes.
Letty. Letty goes for a dog walk. So we have Kimberly up in Lincoln, I think, is listening every day.
Loads of feedback.
Jess was laughing out loud.
When she was on her dog walk.
Yes. So that's great. And I've also had a couple of emails from women in, one was in the Middle East.
Oh,
listening,
wow.
Yes, and found it really helpful. And I will look up her name later. I should have had that ready. And yes, someone from New Zealand, not Anna, who listens all the time, but another woman who's thinking of becoming a doula, who's tuning into the doula
Fantastic.
Dispensary. So, yeah. And we were number two on the charts.
Number two in the Apple Pod charts. I can't believe it. That's the first time I've ever been in the charts.
Yeah. So we are forever grateful to you all listening.
We are. And if you have any suggestions on anything you'd like to hear in future podcasts, then please do let us know.
Because we will do what we can to bring you what you want to hear.
Absolutely.
And we also have a Facebook group now, or page, The Doula Dispensary, where you can actually very easily leave us messages, recorded voice notes.
Yes, absolutely, for that segment that we have where doulas send in their questions to us.
Absolutely. So we want to hear from you as much as we can.
So if you'd like to be featured on a top 10 doula podcast, send us a voice
Absolutely.
Note.
Absolutely. But anyway, Siobhan, what have you been up to?
I've had a nice week. Yeah, good week. Been working with clients, busy doing, you know, bits and pieces, admin, stuff like that. But yeah, good week. Some, you know, catching up with little babies.
Aww.
Really nice. One of my lovely doula babies featured on Paul O'Grady's Little Heroes.
Oh, yes,
Heroes.
You said. That's lovely.
So he was born with a cleft lip.
Okay.
So it was his surgery, the first surgery to help correct it. He's such a smiley little thing. He's gorgeous. So that was nice watching him on the telly. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I have to say I've been preparing for doula courses that I have coming up. So basically updating the website, working on that.
When's your next one?
Oh, it's not until the end of the month in Liverpool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've got a little way to go there.
Is that full?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's
it's actually
brilliant.
I had all of a sudden more people booking last minute, so it's more than full.
That's fantastic.
No, so I'm really pleased.
And have you been practicing your Liverpudlian accent?
No, I'm not going to try it, but
really?
I've never been to Liverpool.
Have you not?
It'll be my first time I'm going to be there, so yeah, I'm very excited about that. And yeah, apart from that, not but just the normal kind of stuff, you know?
Run-of-the-mill stuff.
Exactly.
What's for dinner, Mum?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I saw a really funny post on Facebook about that. It said something like, who would have thought that the hardest thing in your life would be thinking of what to cook every day?
Oh, God, yeah. Isn't it? It's just boring. And,
I know.
Yeah, it's just, and it never ends.
No.
Every day.
I know.
What's for dinner?
And I keep thinking, do you know what? I didn't sign up for this.
No, I know. I know. I was saying this to my son only yesterday. I said to him, you know, the first thing you say to me when you walk in the door, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
How about hello, Mum?
Yes.
How's your day been?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
And the thing I hate most is when you say, what would you like for dinner? And they go, I don't mind.
Don't mind, yeah.
No.
And then you dish it out and they go, oh, is it that again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Yeah, everyone's a critic, aren't they? But no one's the chef.
No, it is something that I'm sure our listeners can identify
definitely with. Empathize with us and I'm sure they're with us on this one.
Yes.
Right, so well, let's crack on with the show.
I think we should. Ba-da-ba-da-bow.
Okay, now it's time for this week's doula dilemma. So this week's dilemma is, a client is putting her baby down to sleep on her tummy as this is how she sleeps best. How does the doula bring up safe sleeping guidelines without upsetting or undermining her client?
Mm.
Hmm. quite a dilemma.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's lots of things, actually, that we have guidelines for that mm-hmm. clients find or maybe think of other ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And I obviously sleeping, a baby sleeping on their tummy is not what's the best guidelines to prevent SIDS.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, we could really upset the mum mm. as a doula if we go in too firm and
absolutely.
Hard and saying things like, oh no, you mustn't do
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
You know, the kind of thing that they often hear from other professionals mm-hmm. maybe around them. So I think I would, of course, it's important that doulas know their guidelines, number one. So if you're a doula out there and you do not know things like sleeping guidelines or...
safe co-sleeping.
Yeah, and sling carrying your
yes,
baby, carriers,
yeah.
there's guidelines, swaddling guidelines.
Yeah.
There's lots of different guidelines that as doulas we need to take responsibility for to know. So I think I would say to this client that, or something on the lines of, are you aware, oh, I see you putting your baby to sleep on your tummy. Do you know about the safe sleeping guidelines around baby sleeping on the tummy or something like that? I'm not sure. I'd have to think how I word it, but make sure I didn't upset her.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you could sort of some. Obviously, you want to bring up about the lullaby trust.
Yes,
and referring them to go in and have a read. But yeah, it's how do you broach that and just say, oh, that's really interesting that you've chosen to put your baby
mm-hmm.
on their tummy, and they're obviously going to say, well, that's how she prefers to
yes.
sleep. I guess you could maybe broach it and say, oh right, okay, have you read any sort of guidelines around
mm-hmm.
around that and the best way to do it, maybe something along that
yeah.
line. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yes, but the thing is, the client might say to you, yes, I know you're not meant to do that.
Well, look, if they say that to you
mm-hmm.
there's really not much more you can do.
No,
you know, you've given them the information.
Yeah.
She's told you she's already aware
yeah.
of the recommendations.
Yeah.
She's chosen
to not
follow the recommendations and do her own thing, you know, and that there's really not much more you can do.
No, and I think that's an important point to make, because as doulas, we're not social workers.
No.
We're not health visitors. We're not there to kind of, I don't know what the word is, but to
police.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm.
To police our clients.
Yeah.
What we should do though is make sure they are aware of the guidelines. And
yeah.
if they then choose not to follow the guidelines, that is really not any of our business, I guess, in a way.
No, there isn't. I mean, obviously, saying that also, you know, however, if ever
yes.
a child was in imminent danger.
Yes.
I'm not talking about just a baby sleeping on
them. No, I know.
I'm talking about if you feel that a child is in danger
mm-hmm.
and is at immediate risk mm-hmm. of something, you do need to act. We
yes.
all do, not just doulas.
Yeah, so you're talking about safeguarding
yeah.
and the responsibility we have to all children
exactly,
and babies
yeah.
and vulnerable people.
Absolutely,
yeah.
but that's completely separate,
yes.
a separate issue,
yeah.
which we won't go into today.
No.
But that's separate to...
Exactly, someone not following guidelines.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, there's lots of guidelines that parents might choose to ignore.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
example, even making up formula.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know,
there's very, very few people that actually follow
the
correct guidelines
exactly.
when it comes to making up a formula feed.
And as a doula, we'll say, okay, do you know that this doesn't really follow the current guidelines?
Mm.
Or are you aware of there might be potentially some erased, you know, risks around doing it this way?
Yeah.
And if they say, yes, I know, but this is the way I'm going to do it, then
there's
yes.
there's nothing really much you can do.
So, yeah, it's a dilemma for
it
sure.
It is a dilemma. And but, it is sometimes, you know, it is going to be one of those ones where you have to kind of bite your lip,
yeah.
your tongue, I mean, whatever that saying is.
Yes.
But, you know, you can only do what you can do.
I think maybe some doulas are disagreeing with us right now and thinking, do you know what, you can't do that because what if something happens to the baby? So say if that baby, sadly, has SIDS
mm-hmm.
and you lose that baby, you know, how would you feel then as a doula?
Oh, you would feel terrible.
Exactly.
However, the child at that minute in time is not being, it's not, we wouldn't be classed as abuse, would it?
No, exactly.
It's not coming to any physical harm.
Yeah. We know the mum. We know that the mum knows that yes. those are not the guidelines.
Yeah. I mean, where would you draw the line on that? I mean, if you know, like you say, there may be people that disagree. What exactly do you want the, you know, what exactly yes. is the doula going to do? Phone the police?
Yeah.
Because a baby's sleeping on its front? Even social services, they're beyond stretch. They are yeah. not going to come out to
no, exactly.
somebody whose baby's sleeping on their front. So what is it exactly the doula's going to do?
Yeah, tell the mum off and say you mustn't do that, you know, because the baby could die.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
That's not what doulas do.
Exactly.
So so it's a tricky dilemma also, because if something was to happen, who's to say that the parents don't turn around and say, why didn't you make it more clearer to me that this was dangerous? Mm. Why didn't you kind of make me not do it? Do you see? Mm. But this is like a case for everything we do, I guess. That yeah. we could get into a situation where we are being a guide, we are being a supporter, mm. a servant, if you want to say, and we are supporting a parent's choice, and then something happens, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you should have been more authoritative, you should have been more
yeah.
parent-like and told me I couldn't do that. So I guess, you know.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
And this often comes up around labour and birth,
exactly.
doesn't it?
When, that's it.
You know, you're doing what the doula does, yeah. which is give information
yeah.
and support families in their choices,
yes.
yet when something goes wrong,
yeah.
that can quite easily be thrown back at you,
yeah.
because in a situation where things go wrong, people look around the room to see who to blame.
Yeah.
And usually the most vulnerable person in that room
yeah.
will be the doula.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, in this case, maybe the highest, the increased risks of SIDS are really smoking in the house,
yeah.
not breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
you know, so like putting the baby on the front, yeah, it's a major one.
Overheating.
So there's lots of other things involved in
yeah.
this. But in cases where you're not sure, or you've had discussions with your clients, I think it's a good idea to get this emailed maybe, or confirmed in somehow that, you know, maybe some doulas do that. Say, today when I saw you, we talked about safe sleeping guidelines. We talked
yeah.
about...
Here's a link
yeah,
to
exactly.
the Lullaby Trust.
I think that could be... A kind of, I know that sounds terrible, like protecting yourself.
Defensive.
But yeah, yeah, but it's not, because actually maybe they didn't hurt you in that moment. You know, when you've just
That's
first
right,
had a baby.
Yeah.
So I think it might be a good idea to follow up with a link, like you say, to the Lullaby Trust
mm-hmm.
or the Sleep Information Systems
mm-hmm.
website. And then you kind of have said, look, I know we talked about this, here's a link.
Yeah,
and
but
then,
here it is in black and
exactly.
white. And then you've done what you can do.
Yeah. So
that's that. This
yeah.
week's dilemma.
That's it. And hopefully there's some food for thought.
Okay, so now it's time for...
Question time!
And this week's question...
is from Carla.
It's from Carla.
Yeah,
okay.
So let's listen to her question.
Hi, Siobhan and Kiki. It's Carla here. I've got a question for your podcast. I'm trying to set up a networking group of birth workers in my area, but I am being met with reluctance and in some cases suspicion. I wondered how, if you've got any tips on how I can reassure them that it would be for their best interests and how I could go about doing this. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, so there we go. Really good question there,
yes,
from Carla.
Absolutely. And I think you're probably not the first doula that, or even birth worker that has felt like that. Like feeling like it's difficult to connect with other people.
Yeah, because we all tend to work, you know, it's you work on your own, don't
yes.
you? Hypnobirth teachers,
yeah.
Pilates, yoga.
Yeah.
Everybody just works, but they very rarely work as a team.
No.
So yeah, it's quite a lonely...
Yeah.
It can be quite lonely. So it's great to get people together. I mean, we had that here, didn't we? We had a network,
yes,
the Papa Network.
We did. But I think that the way... I don't know why it's so... Why is the suspicion there?
I don't get the suspicion.
No.
I'm not sure what that's about.
That you're trying to get their work. Or the thing is that really frustrates me is that we are all wanting to make a difference to women and birthing people. We want
yeah.
them all to have good, positive experiences. So why don't we then all focus on that instead of focus on what individually we offer?
Absolutely. But I don't see how a doula trying to set up a network of people. And I'm sure she wants to include anybody involved in birth and postnatal and, you know, working with pregnant and new mothers.
Yes.
Why that would be come across as suspicious, I'm not sure. I suppose you could potentially set up maybe like a Facebook group and ask people to join.
Yeah. The nice thing is that to meet face to face.
No, but I mean to sort of, you know.
Okay, to gather interest.
To gather interest and then arrange a meeting.
Yeah.
Where would you advertise that otherwise?
Yeah. I find that sometimes the ringing people, which is very like confrontational in a way, but ringing people will bring a lot more than actually emailing people.
Yeah.
You start with an email to say something on the lines of, look, I see we work in the same area, we offer similar, or we offer services to pregnant women and new families. I'd love to meet up with you. I think you need to offer something though. I think if you're going to put something together, you need to, even if it's a gathering, you should have something like a free cake or a free gift. Put something. The free gift could literally
Networking is going to be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, I know. So, but people tend to come if they can see, if they can't see their benefit in meeting with you, they're not going to come. And yeah, if sometimes a gift has that click well response, as in you think, oh, I'm going to get a free, you know, we go to things, it's free, but we get a free,
Yeah, but usually you get a free gift when somebody wants something out of you.
Yeah.
You don't get a free gift.
But it's a mutual thing. I think Carla wants something from them and they can't see what they are getting from her. I think that's the issue. I think that's why the suspicion is that I'm just kind of assuming here.
I'd be more suspicious of the free gift.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I wouldn't be. I'd be like, oh, that sounds great, free cake.
No such thing as a free lunch, Kiki.
Whereas
if somebody is just organizing a get together and say, look, we all work in the same industry, let's get together, let's have a chat
and have cake
and let's eat cake.
Yeah,
you know, we can either all bring cake or we can buy cake when
I probably didn't word it quite right. It doesn't have to be like a specific gift. I mean, it needs to be, everyone needs to know that they understand what they're getting in return, I think, for connecting. So if you have an email from someone.
If someone sends me an email saying, I work in a similar industry. Yeah. I'm trying to get a group of people together so we can all connect and network.
Yeah.
I think fantastic.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well done you for organising it.
Yeah.
Count me in. When is it? I'll put it in my diary.
And
that's what I personally would do.
Not me too.
Anybody that doesn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't get that. If you're working and you're trying to get business, why wouldn't you want to connect with other people?
So what can Carla do then? A specific.
Move, Carla. Move to another area where people appreciate you.
And try some other people. Yeah, no, I think it's...
Get some, do you know what, Carla? Maybe get some doulas together because they'll always turn up when there's cake.
If you are in an area, Carla, where you can connect with other doulas and doing things together, it could be easier. But
it might be, that might be a start, you know, just to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then, you know, set up like a page.
Yeah.
Calling it the pregnancy and birth and postnatal network group for your area.
Yeah.
Put pictures of you and the other doulas up eating cake and enjoying each other's company, and that might get people's interest.
Yeah.
They might come along to the next meeting.
That could be, or using her own social media to just promote what she's doing.
Yeah.
I think the key is to not give up though.
No, don't give up. Keep the memento going. And you know what? Even if one person turns up to the meeting, you've got to keep having that meeting on the same day of the month, every month or whenever it is, quarterly. Yeah. But don't cancel the meetings. Don't change them. Don't change the time.
No.
Don't change the day. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep the memento going and it will build.
Yeah. And I think that's the important thing, to set a time, date and place.
Mm.
Don't ask who is available a meetup, what dates will work best for you.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's endless and endless emails going back and forth. And in the end, you just don't get anywhere.
No.
So I think that's another, if you are going to organize networking, just set one up.
But good luck, Carla.
Yeah.
You know, where is Carla? Do we know where Carla is? I'd come otherwise.
Yeah,
if it's not too far away.
I don't think she's too far away, but I can't. Sorry, Carla.
Let us know, Carla, how it goes. Please do keep in touch.
Yes.
Hopefully that helped.
Yes, hopefully. Ba-da-ba. Ba-da-bow. So it's time for this week's doula dose.
The dose of doula.
Here we go. So
what... You sounded like somebody who works on the waltzers. Okay, everyone, here we go. Get ready to spin.
What was that?
The waltzers. You remember the waltzers? The ride at the fairground? Oh. Do you want to go faster? Scream if you want to go faster. That's what you just sounded like.
Okay, excellent.
One of those people. A fairground worker.
All right, maybe I was in a previous life.
Maybe. Anyway.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about? Doula dose is tongue tie.
Tongue tie, yes. So.
What? About it.
What about it?
Well, tongue tie is something that's been diagnosed a lot more.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yeah, it's definitely on the increase.
On the increase. But the thing I wanted to talk about, or that we wanted to discuss regarding tongue tie, is that so many new parents will say, I've been told the baby hasn't got tongue tie.
Yes.
When they have nipples that are falling off, they have...
babies that are clicking like they're doing Irish dancing.
Leaking milk, so yep, can't get a proper latch on.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you know, the doula might say or suspect this could be tongue tie, and over again that the parents are saying, no, it's not.
Mm.
So what that's what I think is important for parents and doulas to know. How do you diagnose a tongue tie, Siobhan?
I don't diagnose tongue ties because I'm not a qualified tongue tie divider.
Number one thing, we do not do that.
But what I do say to clients is, the person that told you your baby didn't have a tongue tie,
mm-hmm,
did they put their finger in your baby's mouth?
Exactly.
And 9 out of 10 times they'll say no.
No.
They looked.
Yeah. And do you know what? You cannot diagnose a tongue tie by looking.
No, I know.
Some of them are very easy to see.
Some are really obvious.
Yeah. But even so, if you are a doula and you can see an obvious one, you would say, oh, it could be maybe a tongue tie or something, but we should get the baby to see someone that knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
An IBCLC, mm-hmm, often, so an International Board of Certified Lactation Consultants, and they got a website that you can look up. Or someone that is trained in doing a proper tongue tie
assessment. Yeah.
And you must always, a baby should have someone put the finger in the mouth to check properly.
Exactly.
So,
and even if you're, well, as we know, even if the baby has a tongue tie, mm-hmm, it doesn't always need dividing. Because if the feeding's going, if everything's going well, then great. But when you can see, you know, this baby, you can hear this baby clicking away.
Yeah.
Like it's doing a tap dance.
Yeah, and not gaining weight.
Not gaining weight.
All those classic symptoms.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, poor mum's nipple is hanging off. Yeah. What I find really frustrating is when the healthcare professionals will say, well, the baby is gaining weight and there is good milk transfer, but the mother's in agony.
Yeah.
Well, does that not matter?
No, exactly.
But because the baby is actually getting fed, they say, that's okay then.
Yeah. Well, we know about that. We know
and
about
And another women. Thing I have seen that's come up recently, this has come out twice for me now in the last, probably the last 2 months with clients. They've, you know, while they're waiting for an assessment, unfortunately, they have started to introduce, they have introduced some formula. They've had to, really, because they're just...
You need to feed your baby,
But then when they have that initial, some of them, so some will ring up first and do a telephone consultation and then decide whether you can then be referred in.
Okay.
So as soon as they hear that you are formula feeding your baby from a bottle, they'll say, well, you're not breastfeeding. that's happened twice.
But the reason they're not breastfeeding is because they're in so much pain.
Exactly. They're in this perpetual cycle, which is just, that's not great. So there really needs to be... There needs to be pathways for tongue tie in every single hospital.
Yes, absolutely. So this is our weekly dose of doula.
Mm.
And hopefully you are able to support your clients better.
So what would you say the overall message is here? As obviously, as doulas, we don't diagnose tongue tie.
Mm-hmm.
However, you potentially, if you've exhausted all other avenues when it comes to feeding...
Mm-hmm.
And none of that is working, then you need to signpost
to someone qualified, but also find out from your clients if there actually have been an oral examination of the baby to diagnose or not diagnose tongue tie properly.
Absolutely.
I think that is what we're saying.
Absolutely.
That's it. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Right, so now it's time for sweet and sour.
Or should we say sour and sweet?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
So, either, whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
So this is a section where we discuss things that we find annoying or have sort of rattled us.
Yeah.
And then things that have made us happy.
Yes, and made us smile and laugh.
So let's start with the sour this week.
Yes.
What's the sour this week?
Well, because I know you circulated a photo on social media where you were allowed in theatre for a cesarean birth.
No, my God. Stop the press. A doula gets into theatre.
Because you were the only birth partner. So that was the reason.
That's the only reason I was in there.
So that is something that really annoys me.
Yes. It is. It's so, so wrong.
Yeah.
And actually that post, I can't believe the feedback on that.
Yeah.
But everyone is in agreement that doulas should be allowed. I mean, I know, for example, in that theatre, you know, they do the little speech at the beginning, right? Yeah. Everybody introduce themselves.
Okay, at least they did that.
Yes, So it's on their little plastic A4 sheet. And that's the first thing they have to do is introduce the entire team. And in that team were two student doctors on rotation.
Okay.
So, as you know, they're doing 5 years, I think it is, they do as doctors.
But in medical school.
And they'll do like rotations. And this is their obstetrics rotation.
All right.
So I said to them afterwards, you know, are you hoping to go into obstetrics and gynecology?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It's just our rotation.
Yeah, okay. So two of those
were in theatre.
Who else was there?
Well, there was the scrub nurse.
Yeah.
Theatre nurse.
Yeah.
The midwife, obviously. Oh, and then there was the consultant who discussed everything with my client and gave her the impression that he was doing the cesarean. But actually, it was the guy in the background who stood against the wall in the room when he was having the discussion. He was who did the cesarean, along with his trainee who did an awful lot of it.
There was a main consultant who was talking to a client, and then two other people.
Yes, and the main consultant came to your room prior to discuss.
But he didn't do the operation.
But he didn't do it. And he's in all of his conversation.
Yeah.
Had us all convinced that he was doing.
Oh, that feels a bit misleading.
And it wasn't. It was the guy who was just in the, you know, they come in with their whole entourage.
So was there someone that was like a trainee?
No, he's a registrar.
Oh, right. But why didn't he do the discussions?
I think he should have done the discussion.
Actually, I think this is the sour bit.
Yeah. I think he should have done the discussion because he's the one that did the surgery. The consultant didn't even come into theatre.
This is so strange.
Mm.
Very strange.
Yeah.
And
the funny thing is, when my client was discussing about skin to skin in theatre, and he was saying, well, you know, we find that a bit awkward and we can't really do that. I was thinking afterwards, well, you shouldn't have even been having that discussion because you weren't the one in theatre. It was the guy with his leg up against the wall and his arms folded in the background who did the surgery.
Did you get skin to skin in theatre?
No.
That is just so old-fashioned. It's unbelievable. Why do they not do that?
Too cold.
Oh, I can't stop being sour now.
I know. There's just so much. You know, the fact that at no point was my client ever told that this, you know, I'm not going to disrespect the person.
No.
I don't know if they... But they're obviously a junior doctor of some sort.
Yeah.
Did an awful lot of the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, it was the registrar that actually took the baby out.
Okay.
Because I filmed it.
All right.
For her. She wanted it
But
filmed.
Then another person working on...
Yeah, but that was never communicated. Yeah. But anyway, I suppose, are we sort of coming off the subject?
We are a bit, but I think that... Because the fact is, there was a lot of people in there that
she didn't know and didn't particularly
want there.
I mean, look, there's a lot of people in there that obviously they've all got their role.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they need to be there too.
Of course they have to be there. I'm not for a minute expecting anyone who has a role in that room to have to step out.
Yeah.
But there were two students in that room who have no interest in obstetrics.
And if you think about it, not that many women use doulas in the UK.
No.
And not that many women use doulas when they're having an elective cesarean.
Mm-hmm.
So in those circumstances, would it not make sense to have the doula come in, or any cesarean actually, because they're so rare with a doula there, to, if the parents want the doula there, that she can come in, or the doula can come in and support the couple whilst one of the medical students are not there.
Exactly.
So that
it is. Because where's the benefit to the woman?
Yeah, there's none. If woman-centered care means the woman gets what she needs.
Exactly.
Or the birthing person gets what she needs.
Yeah. So before anybody gets on their high horse, we're not for a moment suggesting anybody with a necessity to be in that theatre should step out to allow a doula to step in. What we're saying is that if a woman chooses to have a doula present at her caesarean, then the compromise should be the student doctors.
And
are there observing, they're not actually doing anything, they're just watching.
Yeah, and we know from research into oxytocin and how women feel around having a person there that they trust and feel safe with, it's only going to be beneficial for everyone.
Absolutely.
It's going to be safer.
Absolutely.
And that's it. I think we'll leave the sour there because we'll probably go on. But please give us your feedback on that. On the Facebook page, if you have something to say about that.
Maybe we should start some kind of hashtag campaign.
Yeah, well, I have the doula movement, kind of a quiet little silent group that I wanted to get off get up and running. But I need some volunteers to help me get it running. But that's one of the things. We need to.
We do need to start making some more noise around this.
So if anyone's wanting to help with that, please get in touch.
Absolutely.
And what is our sweet thing this week?
Well, my sweet thing this week is a program called Motherload is back on telly.
I've heard about that.
It's so good.
The Motherload.
It's such a great program,
and it's really portraying motherhood.
It is totally portraying motherhood exactly how it is.
Okay,
there's no sugarcoating it whatsoever. It's such a funny program. So it's on a Monday night, BBC Two at 10 o'clock.
Okay,
it's the second series, so you can always get the first series on catch up.
Yeah,
which is. So she's a mother.
Yeah.
She's got two kids. Yeah. She's also got a career.
Okay.
And she's trying to juggle everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the school gate, there's always the perfect mother, you know, who just has it all.
Wasn't that you?
What, the perfect mother? No, I was the dishevelled one turning up as the bell was, you know, ringing with the kids having their shirts still hanging out. Yeah. No, it's just, it's so real and so funny. So,
So that's
my sweet this week.
All right. Well, that's worth a watch then. I have to start watching that.
Yeah.
I do actually like lots of those parenting programs. You know, the ones that really shows the story. I really love The Middle. I know it's an American program.
Oh, is that the one?
It's just, I love it. The Middle.
The Middle.
It's just so funny. It's just, when you watch it every time, you've been there. If you're a parent.
Is that the one with the dorky daughter?
Yes.
Sue Hicks. Yes, that's it. Yes.
I love that.
I know the one you mean. And the kid is a nerd, isn't he? The little one.
Yeah, well, I think he might have some kind of autism, to be honest.
Oh, okay. I thought he was just like
He is. He's very, I think, because he keeps saying, he's got some special behaviours that are hilarious. And then there's the son, Alex.
The older guy. Yeah.
It's really funny. I like that too. Yeah. So I think that's it.
Yes. Well, that's our
sweet and sour
for this week. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Well, we've come to the end. We've come to the end of the road. No, the end of the program.
Yes. Episode 7, nearly a wrap.
Nearly a wrap. Yes. So what are you up to this week?
Well, this week I am going away with the girls.
Oh, the girls.
Going to Centre Parks. Bit of an advertisement there for Centre Parks. Other
sponsors are available.
other resorts are available. Yes, we're going for my friend Alison's 50th birthday.
Oh, fantastic.
And yes, we're all going away just to have a nice time, just chilling. We're doing line dancing.
Oh.
We're doing, what else were we going to do? Mini golf or bowling. We're doing lots of little activities, but mainly just being together. And we've got one of those nice villas.
Nice. Yeah. With the hot tubs.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Nice.
Yeah,
drink?
No, of course not.
Just water.
I think I might have a little spritz, April spritz night.
I really, really, really want to love that drink because
it
looks so good.
It is so nice.
I cannot stand it.
Why not?
Don't like.
Don't you like Prosecco?
I do. No. Can you believe it? I don't like Prosecco. I don't like champagne. I don't like any of those really fizzy.
Really nice, lovely drinks.
But that Aperol Spritz, I always look at it and think, oh, what a fabulous looking drink.
It's just, it needs to be mixed well. Otherwise, it can be a little bit.
I just don't like it.
So what are you up to?
I'm off to County Cork in Ireland.
Oh, you lucky girl.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going away with one of my friends.
All right.
And we're going to see another one of our friends who lives out there now. So, yes, we're off to Cork.
I would love to go. I think I'm going to go to Ireland next week. Sorry, next year. Okay. To do a doula course.
Oh, fantastic.
So can you check out some locations then?
Where would be
a good place? So how long are you there for?
Only going for 2 nights.
Okay.
Just a quick flying visit,
oh,
literally.
Oh, lovely. It'd be fun.
Yeah, nice little quick trip over to see her. Some nice walks along the seafront, being blown to death by the wind coming in from the Atlantic Ocean.
Of course.
It'll be great. And, of course, you know, many a trip to a nice little Irish pub.
Yes, I was going to say, but I didn't. You know, didn't know if I was kind of assuming you'd do.
Well, it kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
So I guess that's it. I just wanted to say that you should definitely get in touch with us if you have any subjects you'd like us to talk about, any questions. Please send them as voice notes, because then we can use them in the podcast, and it's nice for you to have your voice heard.
Yes,
and you can do that. Actually, you can send voice notes from your phone in most apps, like Instagram, like Facebook. You can just go and to send an SMS, like a normal message, and click the little microphone and record a voice note.
Yeah.
And you can then send it to either me or Siobhan. You'll find our numbers online.
Yeah.
And we can use that. That would be really, really helpful.
Yeah, some more questions in would be really good. It's great to hear all your different
yes, and from the world. I mean, we've got America, we've got all of the world. There's not nowhere that we haven't got listeners.
No.
So yes, please send us in some questions, and in English, please.
In English, yes.
Or Swedish.
Or Swedish.
Or Irish.
Oh, no, not Gaelic. No, there's only a couple of sentences I know in Gaelic, and you wouldn't want to repeat those on the podcast.
Let's not do that then.
No.
Well, so I think that's
us for this week.
Yeah,
so
there's we'll
only got to say,
see you next Thursday.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do